This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, hi, and welcome to all of you who are joining me today. I have a very special guest on the line. Today we're going to be talking to Mona Lisa Harding, who is co-author, along with her husband, of the book, The Brainy Bunch, and you can find out more about their family by going to thebrainybunchbook.com. And I want to welcome you, Mona Lisa. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks. Great to be here.
Yeah. Well, I am excited to have you here because I know that years ago we were following another family whose children graduated fairly early by today's standards and were, you know, in jobs that required master's degrees and even higher in their early 20s. And so, you are doing the same thing here and raising a family that not only loves the Lord, but also is really motivated. And I've got a question here from one of our listeners about motivation, which is probably a question you get a lot, but we'll take that in a few minutes. But, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you're married to your high school sweetheart, and you've got quite a few kids. So tell us a little bit about your family.
Yeah, well, I did. I married Kip back in 1986. We're from San Jose, California, and he joined the military, and we started having kids right away. It's something that we knew we wanted to do. After our third child, we took a little break, but then we started homeschooling, had a fourth baby, and somewhere in there decided that we were not in control of the babies, and we were going to let God be in control. And so then we started having kids every 2.5 years. And in that, during that time, we were homeschooling, and God taught us a lot about being more relaxed, more laid back, more focused on the things that were important. And so we've changed our method over the years and getting better results because of it.
That's what a wonderful testimony to God. And I just love what you said about letting the Lord orchestrate your family size, because I know, that was something we struggled with as well. And I went on to have three more children, as I call them, in my Elizabethan years, because we weren't really open to having more children before then. And God has blessed me with these three that are simply amazing. They are really, Mona Lisa, they are a blessing to me. And so, you know, they have a mother who is, you know, old by some of the mom standards out at the baseball field. I'm also more relaxed, and I counsel a lot of moms out there. So it's kind of fun. You know, my daughter walks up with her five little babies, and she's 31, and she's expecting her sixth, and gets all those questions like, you know, the from the dumb to, do you know how that happens?
Yeah,
I'm sure you've heard that one before.
We have an answer for that.
Oh, yeah. So does she. My daughter is, I have a daughter who's taller than I am. I'm about 5'4", and one's 5'8", who's 16. And this daughter is barely 5 foot. And as my son-in-law, who's over 6 foot, says, she's very powerful, even for her tiny size. So she has quite the answer. But so God has blessed you with these children. And, you know, one of the things that I know we struggle with as homeschool moms is scheduling. And we're going to touch on that today and also, you know, discuss how you raised these amazing kids to do the things that they did. Because if you go to their website, for those of you listening, you're going to find that this is no ordinary family, although probably Mona Lisa would say, oh, yes, we are. You know, we're your typical family. But some of the things, like a daughter who's an engineer at 26 and another daughter, an architect at 24, and one who is a Navy doctor at 22, and I have a niece who is a Navy doctor, and actually her husband is as well, and she is the same age as my daughter at 31. And I love to tell a story about how she does not use birth control. And God gave her two beautiful children at just the perfect time for her. And she still opened a life as a doctor in active duty in the military. And God just has taken care of it. So, you know, that is such an amazing blessing. So, you, and we can go on with your other children, but I want people to go to your website and check it out. So, you know, you've had these children, and you know, scheduling can be quite a problem with just, you know, even a family of two. So just, you know, share with us some things that you have found through the years that have worked for you and your family in that regard.
Yeah, well, as I'm sitting here, I'm honestly staring at some popcorn smashed into the carpet and some laundry on the couch and dishes from last night. And I'm telling you, I think I have a touch of OCD, but thankfully I have all these kids, which has mellowed that out, because I love to make schedules and I love to make lists. And I would stay up till 2 a.m. and have fun getting everything done on my list. But because of the life that God has given me, I can't do that. I have to go to bed early. I have to get up early. I can't do everything on my list. So I have a list in my iPhone, and it rolls over to the next day and the next day and the next day. And every day I go through it, and I don't do it in chronological order. It's like putting out fires. That's the only way to describe it. I have to do what's the most pressing. And sometimes I feel so lost, and I talk about this in our book. I have to call my husband and say, what am I supposed to be doing today? And he has to ground me and say, okay, Bible study with the kids, pay that bill, and make that phone call for me. And then if I don't do anything else during the day, I feel like, okay, I did those important things that my husband thought were really important. And then I have to answer the phone, you know, and put out those fires. But in the meantime, I need the kids to be doing the same sort of thing, what they know is most important. And that usually, you know, will be Bible study with the family, chores, not that they get them all done perfectly, but at least the front rooms in case somebody drops in, you know, just kind of, you know, just so they don't, you know, call the health department or whatever. Maybe get some of that laundry going because it just gets so backed up, you know, that sort of thing. But I'm trying to teach my kids to what is the most important thing today, and that'll usually cover math, reading, and writing. And the reading just kind of has to include all the other subjects. You know, we do a little history reading, science reading, but I have to get those older kids to do it on their own. I don't care what order they do it in. They just have to be constructive every day and do something. And somehow it seems to work. And when ACT time rolls around SAT time rolls around, then the priorities shift and we start going into that mode of, you know, you have the test coming up in 4 weeks. So maybe they focus on mostly that, and that would include, you know, writing, reading, and math in with that, with the reviewing. But it really is every day before getting out of bed saying, Lord, I'm so overwhelmed. I can't get out of this bed without your grace and your mercy, and you have to show me what is the most important thing. And I'll look at that list, and I just go through and see what is the most pressing and what can roll over to the next day. And that, I mean, sound like procrastinating, making, you know, leaving things for the next day. But for me, it's just survival. I don't have it all together. Somehow my kids are doing amazing things, but I think they see my example of what is the most important thing right now that you need to be doing. And knowing how to say, can't take care of that right now, that's going to have to wait. Or the deadline's not there yet, you know, what's due today. So that's just how I survive, and it's not very neat, but it gets me through my day, one day at a time.
Wow. And, you know, I think that's really true, that when it comes to deadlines, and especially for those of us that, you know, are authors with a family, there are those deadlines. And I know Simon & Schuster is your publisher. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes, yes, yeah. And last summer. that's pretty much all we did was work on that book.
Yeah, and I know that the, you know that that's something that is, you know, that you have to focus on. And because people have said to me, you know, well, how did you write, and how did you have time to write? And you do. You have to make that time if you're going to write that book, and especially you having a contract in advance, I'm sure, because that's my other side of the house. I've written a book on writing and publishing. So I'm well familiar with those things, and you know, you've got to be able to get that those other priorities done in your life, because you're always laugh and say, "Gosh, guys, you really have to eat this much, and you know, laundry has to get done," because your kids do. They still have to eat. They still have to have clean clothes, and you still have, you know, a lot of other things happening. So, you know, it is really important to have a handle on that, and, you know, and get those things accomplished. I think, too, you know, do you see some of the kids in your families having, you know, more leadership, where I know for me, I'm more of the creative mind, and, you know, my kids steer me sometimes in the right direction. I think we're a lot alike, you know, you know, getting those priorities done, and it's okay to have a list roll over. And I do a lot of things in my head, which can be dangerous as I'm getting older, because I say they leak out. I don't remember them as well as I used to. But, you know, do you have kids that are the opposite and will take more of that, you know, leadership role and kind of organize the younger kids and things like that?
Oh, yes. Yes, they have so many different personalities. There's certainly... you know, right now, my 16-year-old just got his driver's license, like, a few days ago. And he's driving his younger sister to the computer lab at Faulkner University, because she has a bunch of computer questions on the class she's taking that I cannot answer. And he took the course, and he's having a little trouble with it because it's a section he didn't cover. So I have to delegate. And I said, look, I know you're kind of new at driving, and he's excited to drive. And I wish I could have done it for her, but I have to delegate. I have to, because I can't do it all. And so right now, while I'm talking to you, I'm also praying that for their safety.
Okay, dear Lord.
Okay. Yes, and that they just have to figure it out on their own. And, you know, I feel guilty about that sometimes, delegating things. You know, my other son is upstairs, and he's got the toddlers up there trying to keep them quiet right now, and they're supposed to be folding laundry. I don't know 100% that they're going to do it, but I need them to. But they see, okay, I'm doing this interview. I need your help. You know, this isn't just me giving you busy tasks because, you know, I'm trying to train you. This is real life. It's like we got to pay the bills. We have to do those things, and I need your help. And so even my 8-year-old, you know, she knows how to run the dishwasher, do dishes, and do all kinds of things, and in addition to schoolwork, because that's life. And so I've apologized to my older kids that are, you know, married and moved out, and said, look, I'm sorry that I put so much on you guys at such young ages. But they've come back and said, you know what, Mom, that has made us who we are. We are so independent now. We can figure things out on our own. And I was just grateful to hear that, because you always feel guilty as a mom, you know, like you're not doing enough, or you're doing too much, or whatever. You know, you always feel guilty. But to have your grown-up kids say, you know what, it's okay. We were kind of unschooling, figure things out on our own, but now there's no problem we can't solve with God's help. You know, we could really, in their work, they're just very confident young ladies because they've learned how to manage a home and figure things out at a young age. And so hopefully we're not damaging our kids, right?
Well, I think you have some credentials here in some of the success of your children. And you know, I have to laugh as you're telling me this. Manalisa, you'll love this story. My niece was visiting recently, and she graduated from high school in 3 years, and she followed in the footsteps of my other niece, who is an attorney. I believe she's an attorney at 22. She graduated college in 3 years, law school in 3 years, high school in 3 years, college in 3 years, and then law school in 3 years. But she was a very young attorney, and those girls cannot cook to save their life. And the one who's an attorney married a chef who stays home and takes care of the kids. So, you know, and I'm Italian, and Joe, her husband's Italian, so he fits in great, and, you know, we're big cooks. And so, you know, we laugh and we say that's okay because the Lord will provide, and he does.
He knows.
And,
yeah.
And, yeah, and but there, you know, there were three girls in the family, and my sister-in-law just loves to she's one of these moms that just loves to take care of her kids. And, you know, we're here, both of us, right, Mona Lisa, we're not pointing fingers or saying, well, if you're one of those moms that, you know, loves to take care of your kids, you really shouldn't. I mean, if that's what you love to do and your husband's fine with it and your kids are fine with it, that's fine with me, because I don't know about you, but I have too many other things to be concerned about, to worry
yeah.
about how other people raise their kids. But my kids have always been really self-sufficient, and I started writing and publishing when I was expecting my third, as I said, in my Elizabethan years. And I had a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old at the time. And Christina, who's the one who's expecting her sixth now, will always say that was her training for, you know, taking care of a baby. And I would have to go find my baby because she thought, you know, Nick was a doll and she and her friend would be over and she wanted to play with him. I'm like, no, you cannot play with the baby. As much as I love that you guys are, you know, kind of babysitting him, and if you want to do that, I'll put a, you know, a little play area here upstairs where I'm working and can keep an eye on you girls, you know. But, you know, they do. Our kids that are from larger families really do learn so much. And I love that about it because, you know, someone has said to her once, you know, well, how, you know, growing up with all these siblings, you know, we're considered a small family with five kids as opposed to some other families. And, you know, she would say, you know, they'd say, well, I can't believe you wanted kids after that. And she just looked at them and said, are you kidding? We had a great time. And it was great. And people will look at things and say, well, you know, you're not providing as much financial benefits if you have a large family, you know. So what would you say to that?
Well, I think if you're teaching your kids biblical values, hopefully they're going to want to store up their treasures in heaven and have that
mm-hmm.
right perspective.
Right.
You know, and also you can say, or they can see, oh, we have another baby, so therefore mom stays home and homeschools, or she's not a career woman, you know, and we live on one income, or we wouldn't have had these babies and I could have a career. You know, they understand that. It's just like you can't do it all. I mean, I don't see how I could have all these kids and work full time. And, you know, you have to either work from home or do something else. But they understand that there's
right.
a trade-off. You know, it's like, sure, we could have had two kids and we would have had all kinds of things, you know, monetary-wise. And they see that the babies are more important, the mom being home and homeschooling is more important. You know, they
right.
understand that. And they have been blessed by God. They see how they don't have, you know, their needs do not go unmet. And so so hopefully they're getting that message. And I think they have.
Right. I think that's
yeah.
wonderful. Yeah. And, you know, to us sometimes I feel, you know, that we're preaching to the choir, because a lot of the moms that listen to this show, you know, are godly moms and love their kids. And, you know, we realize that, you know, all the truths that you said. But I also know, too, that sometimes it begs, you know, repeating and just reaffirming what you're doing, mom, is important. And so, you know, I just want to continue to encourage you. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break here with Media Angels, our sponsor, and when we come back, I've got a couple of questions from the audience here that they'd like to ask you. So we'll do
sure.
that in just a minute. Thank you.
Great.
My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I want to introduce you to my publishing company, Media Angels. I have a heart for homeschool families, and since 1994, I have poured my efforts into creating curriculum to support teaching science, especially from a creationist worldview to the homeschool community. My curriculum was selected by Kathy Duffy in her 101 Top Homeschool Picks. Another Labor of Love is a three-book novel series specifically for homeschoolers with a creation focus, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series that I co-authored with my daughter Christina. Media Angels represents uncompromising quality, not only with books, but with an online homeschool convention and this ultimate homeschool radio network with amazing show hosts. Along with books, Media Angels has produced an American history and an American government video series, as well as a family Bible study, Homeschooling with Proverbs. It has been my pleasure to mentor countless homeschool families and missionaries worldwide. I also enjoy mentoring aspiring authors with one-on-one coaching and the Information in a Nutshell series. If we haven't met, please reach out. I'd love to help you on your homeschooling journey, or if you have a book, help you getting that into print. I can be found on social media and look forward to meeting you. You can reach me at mediaangels.com. Thanks so much, and hope to meet you soon.
Well, hi and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. And with me on the line is Mona Lisa Harding, who is co-author of The Brainy Bunch. Well, Mona Lisa, we've been discussing schedules or lack thereof and some other things, little known things about your family. And we've got some questions from the audience. So let me get started here. This is a question from Jen from Oklahoma. And thanks, Jen, for your question. She says, I have a gifted daughter and she's easily bored and very difficult to motivate. How did you encourage your kids to strive high?
Wow. I hope that, I'm going to guess that she's bored, maybe things are too easy, and I would hope that you'd give her the opportunity to skip ahead. That right there is going to offer some motivation. And if she could kind of catch a vision of, if I skip ahead, then what do I get to do? You know, if you could, if you're willing to look at maybe online classes or dual enrollment or graduating early, that in itself is a huge motivator. We call that the college carrot in our book. You know, dangling that and saying, you know, hopefully you're willing, but, you know, that's a big decision there. If you decide that you are willing to let her graduate early and move on ahead, that would be the motivation to have her skip ahead, and maybe she won't be so bored. Because, I mean, assuming that that's why she's bored, if it's just a lot of busy work,
mm-hmm.
which is common.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. If you have a follow-up on that, Jen, just go ahead and post it in the Q&A, and I'll take that question. Another question is, did you use a particular curriculum?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, in the beginning, I had a friend tell me, you know, you have four kids. The best thing to do is just order Alpha Omega workbooks every grade level, every subject for each kid. Just pass them out. That way you don't have to do any planning. So that's where we started. And from there, we dropped off maybe the language arts first because they didn't really enjoy the grammar. We started doing just more writing. And we did switch to Saxon math because it wasn't consumable, didn't have to, you know, keep buying workbooks. And they were able to copyright their problems onto, like, graph paper to keep the numbers straight. And so we ended up getting all the Saxon math books. But now that you have, you know, Khan Academy online and Tablet Class is something else we've used at tabletclass.com. That one, you know, you do have to pay for. Different things that are automated online, I think, is the way to go now, because anytime you can get your kid to do things on their own, it's going to free up mom's time to do other things with other kids that maybe can't be automated. So now it's just a lot of reading from the library and math wherever you can get it, like I mentioned, Khan Academy or Tablet Class. If the kids still like Saxon math, you know, we'll let them use the textbooks, but giving them also solutions manuals so they can figure things out on their own. And I still have old Alpha Omega workbooks laying around, and if you have a kid, you know, if one of our kids likes workbooks, we let them use them. But we don't really endorse a curriculum over another because we think as long as the kid likes it, it's interesting, and maybe you can accelerate it or skip through the easy parts and slow down the harder parts, you're going to get good results. So.
Right. And I want to do a shout-out for John Zimmerman of Tablet Class. He's one of our network sponsors, and I did a spotlight with John on Tablet Class. And what's really cool is he offered our listeners a special incentive. So if you go to ultimatehomeschoolradioshow.com and scroll down, and you'll find the sponsorship with Tablet Class, and you can hear more about John and his program. So, yeah, a great program. I can also, you know, say is wonderful. And another question here is, do you have any books that you recommend for gifted kids? So I guess let me preface that with, so I'm assuming that people are thinking, especially as the questions were in the gifted realm, is do you consider that your kids are gifted, Mona Lisa?
Maybe, and I don't say this to slight any of my kids. I would say he's my fourth, probably, is and was, because he was that little four-year-old who I told him the letters, the sounds of the letters, and he put them together and started reading, and it was just effortless. So, you know, there aren't too many kids like that, but
right.
Once in a while you hear a family saying, oh, yeah, my child was reading so young. So that was pretty amazing, but none of my other kids did that. But they still did great. You know, they still went to college early and got good GPAs. So I think it's, I wouldn't say that my kids are extraordinarily gifted, you know, with the exception of Heath, but there's a lot of kids that read early. So even among gifted kids, he was an average gifted kid, if that makes any sense. You know, there are early readers out there. So not anymore so. And because their ACT and SAT scores are not extremely fabulous because they're taking it so young. And, you know, so those scores aren't really significant to show anything. I suppose if they took IQ tests, I don't know. We kind of shied away from that because we don't want any labels on our kids. You know, we mm-hmm. just really think that with the combination of homeschooling and the child being really motivated, we think that these results that we're getting, you know, others can do it too. So I really don't believe any of my kids are brilliant.
Okay, so there really wouldn't be a book that you might recommend for gifted kids? So that's a question. Yeah.
Honestly, for gifted kids, I'd say start reviewing the ACT and SAT and take it early. I know that's not maybe the answer the person was looking for, but if you have a bright kid, I would check out what their grade is, what their score is on the ACT or SAT. And that is going to be a great gauge for you to know mm-hmm. Maybe you can wait a couple years to you know, have them test. You can only take, I think, the ACT maybe 12 times. I'm sure it changes and, you know, everyone needs to go look that up for themselves. But maybe you'd want to wait a little older so that they can get that amazing score to get those scholarships. Nice. That hasn't been our goal. But if you have a super gifted kid, I would just say shoot for that because that's where the money is. You know, that's where you're going to get those merit scholarships.
Right. Yeah, so. And then the awesome thing is another shout-out for our network. It's just working out this way, Mona, which we did not practice it. Is College Press Genius with Jean Burke.
I just talked to her the other day. Yeah,
she's one of our show hosts. And so she has a show on the network, and I have to give her a shout-out as well. One of our friends, we're a baseball family, and so I always say if you want to keep your kids out of trouble, you just get them involved in sports. And I never liked sports or to sit and play or even to watch, but God is God, and my kids are gifted in that way. So I'm a sports mommy. So one of our friends was complaining because, you know, you hear moms talk and say, oh, my gosh, you know, my kid's never even going to get into college. He won't study for his SATs, and he did horribly on them. And so I said, I just happen to have this, you know, College Prep Genius, and I have the book, and it's phenomenal. Do you know that he wouldn't even do the workbook part of it? He just watched her videos, and his scores increased by 300 points. That was phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm so glad I just heard about that.
Yeah, but it's been, and so, you know, she had asked me if I'd heard of her stuff, but we weren't ready for that yet, and I said no, and when I got her books, I flipped them over, and she's been on Fox News, a lot of the same places you've been, you know, because of the great results she's getting. And I love, you know, that you guys are just strong Christians, because it's just, you know, such a blessing to have people who are strong Christians out there, you know, sharing not only how amazing, you know, your kids can do, but also, you know, the love of God and how important that is. So, you know, that's phenomenal.
I just think that that's a great place to focus your energy on, is that because for college entrance, you're going to need that's a score on a standardized test and a high school transcript. So the other recommendation for a gifted kid would be anything that's high school level that can go on the transcript. I mean, and start filling in that transcript. So that would be great use of your time.
Okay, and then another question that's here, Jen, from, there's not a name here. I thought that I was missing who it's from. Sometimes people just put in the question and not where they're from. She asks about motivation. So she goes, you know, thanks so much for sharing about your kids, Mona Lisa. I really want to get your book and read it. But how do you motivate a child to do, to want to do their work? So she's asking about motivation.
You know, that's a good one. My husband will say in interviews a lot, you have to connect the dots for them. You know, sometimes kids don't get it. And the example that's in our book is a good one. It's about our daughter who's an architect and not wanting to do her math homework and would literally draw and do designs in her math notebook and wouldn't get her math lessons done. But once we connected the dots for her, and she understood that you have to do the math so that you can take the geometry and the physics to be an architect. Because, you know, you can't be a good architect if you don't understand physics. And the light went on. And so we didn't have any more trouble with her after that, because she realized, oh, it's not just mom being mean to me, making me do this boring math. It actually... it's my dream. You know, I want to be the architect. Her knowing that she chose that, she needs to get through physics. So once, you know, she got through the high school part of it and then started, you know, geometry in the junior college or the college algebra classes, she did well. Even though, you know, maybe before that she wasn't crazy about math, but now she understood why. And I think kids need to see, why is mom making me do this? You know, you could admit, yeah, it's grammar. Nobody likes it. You know, really, nobody really likes this stuff. But you need it to get that score on the ACT or SAT, because they have a grammar section on there, so that you can go into this college where you want to go, that you have chosen to do the major and take the classes that you want. And hopefully that's enough. So far, it's been enough with us, you know.
Children gotten scholarships?
Yes, partial. No, the full rides have come in the graduate level.
Okay.
But in the beginning, I think it has to do with their standardized test scores not being really stellar. You know, they're just getting in. But once they've gotten in, they've gotten like half scholarships because the universities want to keep them there. Or my son joined the band and the choir and got partials. So there's been some. Nobody has, you know, called us and said, you guys are amazing, you can have a full ride to everything yet.
but you're open to that.
Maybe
with the book, you'll get some colleges looking at your kids. Yeah, I laugh about the sports, and they can't contact the kids until their senior year. But, you know, that's the cool thing that, you know, if they have websites and things like that. That was another spotlight I did with a gentleman who does websites for people, for kids who are into sports. And, you know, that's a great idea. But I'm wondering, you know, on the reverse side of how great that would be to have one for kids who are, you know, wanting to be architects or wanting to be, you know, these different things, to also be putting the word out for different colleges. So who knows, you might be starting a new trend, Mona Lisa, with your kids.
Yeah.
Well, you know, thank you so much for being on. But before I let you go, I wanted you to share a little bit with us about the consulting that you do. I know you have a service on your website for those people who are not as privileged as I am to get you on the phone. You do have it, and it's not a pretty minimal charge. And that they can hire you to talk to you about their kids. Tell us about that.
Yeah, a lot of that comes from, you know, you get a lot of emails and you feel bad because people are reaching out to you and they tell you all about their kids and maybe the problems they're having. Your heart goes out to them, but you got to be homeschooling your kids and, you know, answering the phone and doing all those things we talked about earlier. So, you know, usually people will contact me. Sometimes they just get the automatic email because you can't get to it. But
right.
I do try and give them the opportunity to say, look, I really do want to help you, but I have to schedule it, you know. And I like to do the consultations like early morning if I can before my four-year-old wakes up, you know, or
mm-hmm.
put everyone to bed and then get on the phone. You know, or like right now it's kind of hard because I can hear them upstairs running around. But I want to give people that individual attention. And a lot of times it's the nitty-gritty. It's like, how do you do a high school transcript? You know, what
right.
do I do with this problem with this child, this personality that this child has, you know? And
right.
thankfully we have so many kids. We have a lot of personalities. Usually I can help, you know. I don't know a lot about learning disabilities, but sometimes, you know, homeschooling will take care of all that. So
right.
I don't claim to be the expert, but mainly what you'll get if you call is my examples of what we tried, what worked, maybe some suggestions, and certainly navigating through the college application process and transcripts. And it's a good time. And usually people will say, okay, I'm going to call you 6 months down, and we're going to try these changes, implement them, and then they'll call back as, you know, months later, maybe they implement some things and start getting some results, but then they have some new good problems, like, okay, now my son is totally ready to graduate. Now what do I do? You know, so then we have some
right.
other good problems we have to figure out. And so that's pretty much it. And if we've had some calls from, like, you know, out of the continental U.S., and we will do Skype. You know, we can do Skype face-to-face or Skype audio only if there's any folks out there who are long distance out of the U.S., that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
Wonderful.
So that's some options, yeah. And my husband's
cool.
available, too. He loves to talk to dads. So,
oh, that's,
you know,
so great.
If they want to, you know, get on a conference call, we can all get together. And my husband loves that, too. So he doesn't do it as often, doesn't have all the time, you know,
right.
that I supposedly have.
but
he is available.
Yeah, you're just home with the kids, right? That's all.
Eating bonbons, right?
I know, right, in bed. But usually that's true because I remember the one story. My friends, the kids went to preschool, and then I homeschooled, so go figure. And I remember my preschool mommy friends who got their kids in kindergarten, they're calling me going, I'm thinking of you because I could barely get so-and-so out the door, and everything's a mess, and I just had to sit and call you really quick and say, I'm so sorry because your kids are with you. And I would say, really? I said, here I am laying in bed with, you know, propped up with pillows, and we're, you know, either we're reading our Bible first thing in the morning or, you know, done
yeah.
with that, and we're reading our history because I love to start there. And, you know, on my second cup of coffee, still in jammies, can you relate?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and just loving it. And there was no rush, and there were no breakfast dishes
yeah.
that were a mess because, you know, we probably hadn't even gotten there yet. But, you know,
yeah.
it was so, you know, after the first couple of weeks, they stopped calling because I think I was depressing them. But, you know.
Yeah, they don't get that. Yeah.
Yeah, that is, you know, it is different, and it is a commitment. And I would say we're lifetime homeschoolers because we've homeschooled from, you know, virtually from the beginning, other than the preschool with the first two, but the other three, you know, as my daughter says, that didn't count. But, you know, it just is a lifestyle, and it's something you commit to. And I just love that you gave your kids, you know, the tools mentally. So you and your husband, and his name is Kip, you know, both of you
yeah.
gave your kids the tools.
Yeah, he's the visionary. He's the principal.
Yeah.
He's the driving force that keeps
awesome.
Me going.
That is
yeah.
awesome. And, you know, you both have given us a lot of incentive to, you know, give kids that reign to find their love and their passion. And again, the book is The Brainy Bunch, and you can find them at thebrainybunchbook.com. And there's all kinds of links to, you know, contacting them and working with them and so forth. So listen, God bless you and your endeavors. And thanks again for coming on to Vintage Homeschool Moms and sharing your, you know, your little bit about your life with all of us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate
okay.
it.
Okay. God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and DaVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.